RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, a Tuesday edition of In the Loop. Reginald Adetula, B. Scott in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig also with the day off, so Colin Neal on the ones and twos. Thank you both. Sam Houston, a state alumni. Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir.
For rocking with me. Let's talk about these Houston Texans, if you will. The Texans, a third consecutive year headed to the playoffs after a victory versus the Chargers, really after eight straight victories.
Yeah.
I think that's really the bigger thing that has gotten them to this point. The defense that nobody will shut up about, rightfully so, an offense that does enough, that possesses the football, as 1B Scott would say. And a team that knows their identity very well. They live in it entirely, and they continue to roll on this week at home versus the Indianapolis Colts, and then beyond that into the AFC playoffs. I think that one of the things I love about the end of the calendar year is not anything particular. It's not specifically that you just come off of Christmas. It's not necessarily that you can have some level of party for New Year's. It's that milestones create opportunities for reflection.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things for me. I'm not a big resolutions guy, but I appreciate what it stands for, which is oftentimes we are all so busy in our worlds that we put our heads down and we are just trying to make it through the day. And when you end the year, it gives you an opportunity to go, huh, let me reflect on making things better or seeing where, like, just take a stock of what's happening here. And so I kind of want to do that with this end of the year coming for the Houston Texans, if you don't mind, and do a little bit of a coaching evaluation, because the coaching part of this, I think, is very excellent. We talk a lot about the players in these things, but there's three coaches that we'll get to, and if you want to go further, we can. But it's the coordinators, both offensively in Nick Caley, defensively in Matt Burke, and then the head coach in D'Amico Ryans. We could do this. We could play it as a choose-your-own-adventure, wherever we want to start or wherever you want to start, we could start. But I kind of want to just talk this out and how we're feeling about these teams right now.
Yeah, I'd actually like to start at the top with the head coach.
Let's do it.
If I may do that, D'Amico Ryans. All right, so I noticed earlier in the year, this, of course, they started the season very poorly, okay? And so rightfully so. But earlier in the year, it was the first time I started to see folks start to turn a little bit on D'Amico Ryans.
Yes.
He's just a coordinator. And there were some legitimate game management issues early on. And that still could be a concern for some people of like, are they as good as you'd like for them to be with their timeouts, with their more so their strategy toward the end of a half and or game?
I really don't care.
Of course not. And I don't think he should after eight straight wins. I'm actually here to defend D'Amico Ryans.
Okay.
Because I think there are legitimate gripes, legitimate criticisms, legitimate things to pick apart about the coaching performance. But I think overall and big picture, and especially if you're going to get to the end of the year and do a retrospect thing, it's hard to look at everything from beginning to end, and especially what they've done over these last eight games, and feel like the head coach has not played a tremendous part in it or deserves a whole lot of credit. And I think he does. This is what I would start with when I go with the D'Amico Ryans evaluation.
Okay.
The decision to give up defensive play calling to Matt Burke, who we'll get to in just a second, and more so focus on doing the bird's eye view thing of a head coach, where I think he's got I think D'Amico Ryans has a much more of a hand in both now, the offense and the defense. This is another thing, and we'll talk about Kaylee, but whenever we do the Kaylee criticism, I only go but so far because I think that Kaylee is working within a framework that has been built or set or established, however you want to put that, by D'Amico Ryans.
Agreed.
Right? I think there are certain marching orders or certain guidelines that folks that are higher up than him, whether you want to look at D'Amico Ryans, I think it's primarily D'Amico Ryans. I think Nick Caserio has some philosophical input on all of this as well. But Nick Kaylee, to me, is at the bottom of that when it comes to how they approach things, how they attack a game, what the offense looks like. Like, I think a lot of that comes from above him. So to me, with D'Amico Ryans, him giving off the play calling to Matt Burke and allowing himself to be in a little bit more of a corporate role or a bird's eye view role as a head coach, I think has benefited this team overall. That I think he's been able to have his hands in more places, but also at the same time, allow his coaches to do more because now Matt Burke is calling defensive plays. Somehow,
and I think that they found some better things within there. And it feels sacrosanct to even say, I think this defense might have gotten better with D'Amico Ryans taking a half step or a quarter step or however you want to quantify that back.
Yeah,
it does feel like they found another level.
Yeah, I think just to wrap it up, I think I would say with D'Amico Ryans, it seems like they've maximized their coaches by him doing less. They're at least maximized the roles and the operations, so to speak, by having him do a little bit less. They, to me, are doing a little bit more.
I think that they are doing more. I do wonder, you use the word maximize that I think is very interesting because I do wonder if they're maximizing. In fact, maximization is one of those things that is going to come up in a lot of my criticism of D'Amico Ryans here because margins matter.
Yeah.
When I know that it can become cliche and very annoying when you hear people in and around football that say they get paid too. Because it feels like such a dismissal of whatever is being talked about.
A cop out.
In a moment, a cop out, if you will. Shout out to one John Lopez who is who's not fond of cop outs in any way, shape, or form, but it is what it is. I feel like, though, when you have the highest level, we're talking about, you know, four or 500 of the best people to play football in the world at this moment. They're all really good. It's one of the things that I'm fascinates me about, like, someone like a Mike Vick or Lamar Jackson, when you go, how are they making the fastest dudes in the world look slow? That's the moment, you know, because the margins, again, are going to be very thin from a dude who ran a 4.25 and a dude who ran a 4.28. Like, you have these guys on the same field, and somehow you have to find a distinction within those. So the margins are going to be very thin inherently. And so it's incumbent upon you, at least in my estimation, as somebody who's in charge, to try and maximize those. However, when he hands off responsibility to Matt Burke, D'Amico, one of the things I ask is, like, how much maximization has happened in some places? I think also you talk about him establishing a framework for the offense. I agree with you. And that framework is one that is capped by nature at the start, I think. They can talk about, we always want to make big plays. We always want to, you know, score points. I agree that in general, like in theory, we're all there. I want to make a whole bunch of money. Am I doing all of the things to make sure that that's the case? Ends up being a question that comes very quickly thereafter. And I think that that's one of the things where I look at sometimes and I go, I don't know. Now, these are the more nebulous questions I have for D'Amico. The stronger ones are the direct ones that when we talk about margins, and that is game management.
Yeah, it's an issue. Like, it's just a flat out issue. And I saw somebody on the text line or on the YouTube page say that my only real complaint with D'Amico is end of half, parentheses, both halves, clock management. He says a 12-year-old Madden pro would do vastly better. I wouldn't go that far.
I definitely wouldn't. I think sometimes we undervalue the amount of inputs, the lack of time that happens in making those decisions.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape.
But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And the benefit that we have from not being invested, not being on the sideline, we're either at the game in a seat or at the house on a couch or in our Odyssey Lounge or somewhere like that, in a very comfortable spot to be able to make these quick decisions. Or if you're actually playing Madden, you're sitting somewhere playing a video game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's way easier to make those decisions in those positions than it is in their position. But that being said, there are coaches, and there's 32 head coaches in the NFL. All of them are tasked with nailing the clock management part of it. And there are coaches that do it. And so there you are. Expect yours to be one of them.
And there sure. are, to be fair, I also think that there are a lot of them that do it poorly. There are more than we would like across the league that do it poorly. But this is why then it matters even more that outside of the constraints of during the game, when you have all these other input coming at you and you have all sorts of different considerations, that your inherent process, that your inherent beliefs of how to handle this should be established in the time period where you have unlimited time, or more time at least, to think about these things so that you lean on your process. I'm sure that in anything, especially you as a father and trying to ingrain in your kids, if this is how you do things and you do it all the time, when you get to the stressful situations, you will default to the way that you do things. The ways that they have as MOs for their process don't make sense.
No, like they don't make, there seems to be no rhyme or reason, not just from game to game, but even within a drive, right? Like they've had moments this season.
Look at this game where you come out, you're in the shadow of your end zone, you run the ball for 19 yards, and then you change up what's happening here in that moment, and it makes me go, did we have an idea of what we wanted to do there and what makes it change? And it feels like, as you mentioned, there's no real rhyme or reason. Sometimes it feels like it's at a whim.
Yeah.
On a vibe.
And not just that, but then also, and I care much more about what they do than they say, even though we play audio and we go to the press conference and all of that. I care much more about what they do than what they say. But then on the back end, whenever he's asked about it, there's a certain level of defensiveness that, to me, I understand they're doing a great job. They won 8 straight. They won a division 3 times, or they've gone to the playoffs now 3 times in a row. But to me, when you're clearly not doing a great job at something, it'd be better to humble yourself and have a little bit more transparency on what's going on there. Like, what, maybe admit a mistake or two, or acknowledge that, you know what, we'd like to have that back. We should have done that differently, right? Like, to me, there's also a bit of it's not good enough, and there's a smugness about it where that does not exist when the defense doesn't perform. Or sometimes when the offense doesn't perform. But it almost feels like when the coaches mismanage the end of a half, it's like, oh, yeah, we were trying to get this and we were trying to get that. And the answer makes no more sense than what we actually saw, right? Or at the very least, there's no falling on the sword. And I'm not saying he got to humble himself for us.
Prostrate yourself before me.
Nah, I'm not that type. But I'm just saying, like, just in the interest of transparency, you would like to see maybe our intelligence not be insulted. Like, we know that didn't look right at the end of the half. It'd be nice to know that you know that it didn't look right at the end of the half, and, hey, we got to be better.
From the 8-3-2, after what we just saw happen right before halftime, no one should be questioning why D'Amico is not aggressive to end the half. I disagree. Like, I understand that there was an interception there. Don't get me wrong. I think that it's not consistent as to why he's aggressive or not aggressive in those moments. And, yeah, I think that it's a little frustrating to me. I know that shouldn't be the end-all be-all, and I don't think it is that, hey, man, don't insult my intelligence. But, yeah, I do think that you should be more open in those moments, because I think that when being open allows you to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, and what is the texture getting at? Like, so what, you don't trust C.J. Stroud now? Like, is C.J. Stroud not?
There's an argument to be made that they might not trust C.J. as much as far as they could throw him at times.
Yeah, but that would be ridiculous because they're about to pay him $60 million a year. He's clearly their franchise quarterback. Like, they can not trust him all they want. They're going to have to live and die by his mistakes and his successes, right? Like, he's going to make some mistakes, but you can't, like, if you're trying to be aggressive, you're not going to be like, man, my quarterback threw a pick. I'm not going to be aggressive. Now, the thing that I think a lot of people don't factor in as much is, okay, maybe it's not as much of a CJ thing as it is the defense. And I do think that's part of what they're doing. They have acknowledged and realized how special the defense is way before we did, and way more so than we do. And I think they're much more comfortable than the rest of us are with leaning into that, allowing the defense to win them the game.
Can I say, we have spent a lot of time on the negatives. I do want to circle back around to the positives and make a little bit of a sandwich here.
Yeah.
Because
I started with the positives on D'Amico.
And that's what I'm saying. Coming back to the sandwich.
A little bit, yeah.
But, you know, some people jump in the middle of a segment, so on and so forth. That is radio curtain being pulled back. But at the very end here, and I've said it before on this program, I've said it earlier today, and I'm truly fascinated by this. This is not me paying lip service. The idea that the propaganda works, and of course, the nicer way of saying that is the culture is brolic. It is so strong in that building.
Yeah.
They take the messaging, they internalize the messaging, they live the messaging. That is not easy. Like, that doesn't happen all the damn time. If you've watched sports for longer than two seasons, you know that that doesn't happen all the damn time. Except it does in that building.
Yeah. Culture, a bit of a buzzword, probably overused in sports, but this is a legitimate culture builder. And you can tell from talking to him and being around him, and the players talk about this as well. This is not just a job for this guy. This is a legitimate foot. Like, he eats, breathes, loves him some football, right? So I think the players respect that. Obviously, he's got his own player background that they've got to respect. And yeah, no, he's built and established a culture that is, to me, undeniable once you get to three straight playoff appearances for the first time in franchise history, and a rarity for a first-time head coach.
Yeah, and I don't bring the culture just to, like, again, blow smoke. I think that then...
You can see it.
You can see it, but then on top of that, I think the tangible way that that shows up is on the field, they live the principles, and the principles are grounded in reason and reality, and that creates better players. And I think that's part of why... You can look at every year of D'Amico Ryan's tenure and point out a dude that is playing above his level.
Yeah.
Even just this week. Hey, you got Kayvon Wallace out here, and he's looking like a bona fide starter. And I mean, look, I like what Kayvon Wallace did. I'm willing to guess that he is not like just I am starting caliber in the NFL point blank period, because I feel like he would be on somebody's roster.
Yeah.
I think Nick Casario does a good job, but I don't think he's just stashing starting quality players everywhere. Because he's so good at this. I think they do a great job of raising the level of everything that they get, whether it is a good player making them great or taking a player who's fine and capable of learning and making them usable. I think that that's something that you have, whether it's Kayvon Wallace or you have Tommy Togiai Henry Toa-Toa in some ways.
I was going to say Henry Toa-Toa and the linebackers for sure. And I would say on the higher end of talent, but still acknowledged as D'Amico Ryan-specific type of culture guys on every level of the defense, starting with Will Anderson Jr. to the middle. And you can kind of go to the middle with both of these guys, with Jalen Petrie and Azeez Al-Shaair, and then on the back end with Kamari Lassiter. Like, that is – those guys reflect exactly what it is that D'Amico's been trying to build here.
From the 8-2, D'Amico should be Coach of the Year this year, no doubt. I think that he has the qualities of a Coach of the Year in certain years. Not this one. I would love to.
His chance was that first year against Stefanski.
And you talk about culture. You want to see the antithesis of culture? Go up 45, where the Cowboys have released Trayvon Diggs.
What?
Yes. I'm seeing this per Todd Archer.
Diggs week.
Trayvon Diggs has been. Wow. What a wild day in that family.
Not a great
My
Diggs
goodness.
Day
maybe we'll find a time to.
The writing was on the wall for
it
that.
It was. Though. He very clearly did not want to play there. They did not trust him. He was dealing with an injury, but the idea of returning was really rough there. That is a nasty situation they got going up there in Dallas in various different ways.
Yeah, neither Shoddy nor Eberflus big fans of his.
So. No. And great dude at intercepting the football. He is not a Kamari Lassiter by any means. He ain't trying to tackle nothing. I don't know if he's trying to tackle problems in his life. Tackling is not something that he's trying to
do. Not his thing.
Anyways, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Tuesday. Coming up next, we do our Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.